Stupidity has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds. A profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gott, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gott providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gott's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome in to another episode of Stupidity, the 26th episode of Stupidity. I keep saying I won't do another one until I get paid, yet I keep showing up and doing more, and I still haven't been paid. Stanzik, what's going on?
You keep getting the number wrong, too. It's episode 25.
Right. Well, listen, at some point we'll have to release what I call the missing episode, which is the episode 4th of July week that I asked you to do for me, and you never did. And so we'll have to release it at some point, which means you'll actually have to do it at some point. But you're the reason we're at 25 and not at 26. And that reason is why I fired you last week. You know, I fired you while you were on vacation, right?
Yeah. What happened there? All of a sudden I saw an email that was like in the wake of Dan Stanzik's firing. I'm like, oh God, what did I do now?
Well, I mean, you didn't do the missing episode, so we should be on 26. We're on 25, and then you left me to my own devices last week, which I wasn't. I realized how much I actually missed you being a part of this podcast, and I was so frustrated that you were taking a week off that I just f***ing fired you on air.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, not a strong episode last week.
Wow. I mean, is that my fault, or?
I mean, you hosted the podcast. You didn't, I mean, I love the shipping container, but you didn't talk to anybody else. I kept waiting for the big fish to show up.
Well, a big fish was a little occupied, and then, you know, he blew me off. He agreed to do it. He was at some hotel in New York City, and he claims his phone wasn't working and told us to call the room, the hotel room. And by the time we had that all figured out, it was fine. The episode was done. I wasn't doing any more work. That, man.
What was he doing in New York?
Stupidity. So anyway, I fired you for being so valuable to the show. It's a weird reason to be firing a person simply because you took a week off. That's it.
Should I have renegotiated? I feel like I'm owed more money now.
Listen, it was a perfect spot for you to renegotiate right then and there. Like, you could have done it right like last week, but that time has passed, my friend, because you were up at a lake drinking beer. So I mean, you missed that opportunity, okay?
Had a great time drinking beer by a lake, though, let me tell you.
Well, I want to tell you, because I think you and I see eye to eye on this. I maintain, like, if I had a choice, give me a lake or an ocean, give me a lake any day of the week. Like, if you're not drinking beers by a lake on an annual basis, you're not living correctly, you know?
I'm with you on the lake over the ocean, because give me the fresh water over the salt water, it's not even close. And my brother-in-law has a theory that any beer tastes good if you're drinking it by a lake. Agree or disagree?
I totally agree. Like, beers that I don't like will taste great if I'm drinking them next to a lake. Like a Keystone Light, which I can't stand, but if I drink a cold one right next to a lake, oh, that thing tastes like a f***ing Heineken.
Woo! Wait, Heineken? You like Heineken's that much?
I don't really like Heineken. I don't know why I went to Heineken. In fact, I despise Heineken. Is Heineken a sponsor?
They should be.
Are they?
No!
Well, until they are, I don't like them. But if they were, I love them. Stupidity! So, Stanzik, I'm interested. What beer do I go to? When I say a Keystone Light tastes like blank when you drink it next to the lake, what's the high-end beer I should be going to there? I went Heineken because I think it's the most well-known high-end beer, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this could be a divisive question, but are you an IPA guy?
No. Get the hell out of here. Are you?
No.
I'm going to fire you for that.
Come on. No. All right. So some people may think like IPA. People will laugh at this, but Coors is the banquet beer. I don't know.
Is it? Really?
I don't know. What is like the high-end good beer? I mean, I
guess
like,
it's Heineken. I think I went to the right spot. It's just I'm with you.
No. You know what it is? I like Stella Artois.
Listen to me. If I see you at a bar and I'm the bartender, okay, and I used to be one, West Side Brewery, I'm going to punch you in the f***ing face if you order that, all right? Just tell me you want a Stella, all right? A cold Stella. Don't say the second word. I'm telling you, if I'm ever bartending, celebrity bar, I will punch you in the f***ing face. And if I'm sitting next to you at a bar and you order a what is it called?
A Stella Artois.
Punch in the face. How about that?
I don't disagree with you. I've never ordered a Stella Artois. I've ordered a Stella.
Right. You just say a Stella. You don't say Artois. Yeah.
You don't have to say cold Stella either. I don't know why you'd have to throw a cold on there.
Listen, I like a Stella, okay? Draft Stella, cold Stella glass, and that is a great beer. Not a good beer. A great beer. You agree?
It's a great specific glass, too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know the glass, right?
Oh,
the Stella,
yeah.
That thick, that short but thick Stella glass that has the Stella logo on it, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
That's what I'm talking about. I won't punch you in the face. If you just say Stella cold glass, we're good. Okay?
That's our high-end beer. We agree.
For this podcast, it is our high-end beer. Unless Heineken comes on as a sponsor, then they become the high-end beer. How about that?
People are going to mock us for this, but I'm sticking with it. Stella, high-end.
They can mock us all they want. What I'm telling you is whatever beer comes in as a sponsor, they automatically become our high-end beer, even if it's Keystone.
You know what I wanted to ask you once?
What?
You know, like, people are snobby about beer.
Yeah.
What are you a snob about? Like, you'll only have a certain brand of this, or you have so many pairs of shoes, or something where, like, you love a great French press pour-over coffee.
All right, here's what I'm a snob about. Chicken parm sandwiches, okay? The cutlet cannot be too thick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the guys asked me on the show, best chicken parm I ever had, and I told them, oddly, it was from a steakhouse, the Palm Restaurant. They have the best chicken parm. It is thinly sliced, great cheese. They use Munster cheese, by the way.
Not a fan of Munster cheese.
Oh, it's an underrated, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's an underrated cheese. It really is. It's an underrated cheese.
If you could only have two cheeses the rest of your life, what two cheeses do you pick and why?
Munster and Vita Blue.
What do you mean?
Vita Blue cheese. Bad joke! Stupidity! So anyway, what I was telling you about the chicken parm, okay, is the cutlets need to be very thin, okay? Then not a ton of sauce, but sauce on the side. And the bread needs to be perfect. I don't want a thick cutlet and a thick chicken parm sandwich where I have to wrap my entire mouth around it just to get a bite, okay? I need it to be one cutlet, maybe a second one, preferably thin, nice amount of cheese, light sauce, sauce on the side, good bread. That is what I'm a snob about. Chicken parm sandwiches, championship rings, and marijuana. Stupidity! All right, Stanzik, so I think in your absence, some things transpired last week, and we both owe each other a congratulations. Is that fair?
Yeah, happy birthday, 47 still.
I don't know if congratulating me for f***ing getting older and fatter is something you should be congratulating me for, but thank you.
No, definitely. One of my brothers, his New Year's resolution every year, don't die. Doing okay so far.
That's a pretty good
yeah. Set your expectations low.
Listen, that's what my whole career has been about.
So yeah, big birthday week. What'd you do?
Lied about my age.
Yeah, why?
It makes me feel better about myself.
Oh, all right.
And it makes me feel younger, and no one's paying attention and no one cares except for Levitard, who pointed it out that I was lying this past week when I told him I was 46, and he said, wait, you're 47. He said, so all the things you told us when you were 45, you were actually 44. And I said, yeah, like I've been doing that forever. You never tell someone what your actual age is. I'm telling you right now. Cody agrees with me. Everyone agrees with me except for Levitard. You don't have to give an accurate age, okay? A, no one's paying attention. B, no one cares. Giving your age is all about making yourself feel better, okay? And so when I tell people, you know, I usually go a year younger than I actually am. So right now I'm 47. I will spend the next year telling people I'm really 46. But occasionally I will tell people I'm 42 just because I feel like it. How about that? And I don't care what anyone thinks.
I mean, it's a harmless lie. I agree with you on that. But I don't think there's a real reason to do it. But if it makes you feel better, great. Speaking of making it you feel better.
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the other reasons, Stanzik, I do it, by the way, just so you know, is I want to see how low I can go with the age before someone calls me out.
Ooh,
so it gives
game.
You like an idea. Like, right. If I tell, hey, how old are you today? Well, I'm 39. Get the f*** out of here. You're not 30. I want to see what that line is where someone's going to call me out. It hasn't happened yet. I dropped 42 this week to somebody and they told either they weren't listening or they just believed me and assumed I was 42. So that bodes well for me. How about that?
I think that's the longest you can stretch it. If you said 40, no one believes you. 41, maybe. 42, people are asking more questions. 43 is believable.
Okay, that's fair. Where were you going there before I rudely cut you off?
Yeah, you always do it. It's fine. I'm used to it. So your birthday was Monday.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be too forward with this question, but the day before Monday is Sunday, and everyone that listens to this podcast knows what Sunday is. Do you have a little birthday arrangement with whoever used to be on this podcast when it started?
Yeah. So how did we address that?
Yeah, what'd you do? You back to, you know, doubleheader? What'd we do?
Doubleheader, my ass. What do you have your mind? Doubleheader. You think we went Sunday and Monday? And you think I shaved both days? Sunday, Monday is the funniest thing I've ever heard you say. Sunday, Monday. We didn't do it on either day.
She let you play golf on Monday, huh?
And Sunday. Stupidity! All right, so you congratulated me for something I'm not certain you should be congratulating me for, getting older and fatter, and I'm going to congratulate you for something I'm not certain I should be congratulating you for, and I'm saying that word way too much because I'm starting to stumble over my own words, but congratulations, I guess. You're engaged?
Thanks.
Am I going to be invited to the wedding? What do you think?
I mean, you won't show up to the wedding, but...
I will, but you'll get a nice check. Yeah, so that's the key, Stantic. I'm giving you some advice right now, okay? Yeah. Invite people that you know aren't going to show up, and you get some extra money out of it. You know what I'm saying?
I like that plan.
Okay. Now, I will tell you this. If I can get your fiance on the air on this podcast, and I'm going to do everything I can to get her because I know you're not going to get her, so I'm going to have to reach out to her directly, work some back channels, if you know what I mean. But if I can get her on the air, I will attend the wedding. So that might be incentive for her not to come on. I'm not certain, but I will attend the wedding if she attends the podcast.
You didn't even go to Billy's wedding. There's no chance you're coming to my wedding.
I had to see my kids. I mean, I really did. It was the only weekend I had to see my kids. Do you know when your wedding's going to be?
Haven't even talked about it.
Prenup or what's going on? just some friendly advice. I mean, 52% of these things end up in you giving up 50% of your shit. I mean,
no prenup.
What? I'm just interested. If you floated the idea of a prenup past her, what would her response be?
It probably wouldn't end well, but like, it's not that our income levels are that much different. So I think it would just be a strange conversation where she would think I was joking.
Okay. Yeah, I floated that idea past Abby. And,
did you really, like, in all seriousness, did you say that, like, as a serious question, or you just did it to get a reaction?
Well, listen, you guys are basically making the same money. I've always made a lot of money, and Abby's always made no money. And
right.
So my situation was a little bit different, you know? So I floated it past her, and I got these eyes that suggested don't ever bring this up again, or we're finished.
Okay.
And I quickly moved on.
Walk me through this. Where are you? Are you like, you're sitting down for dinner, you're planning your wedding, you're like, hey, by the way, what are your thoughts on a prenuptial agreement?
I know it seems like a rare time for me to break out data and stats, but I actually sat down with some data and stats, and I said, look at the divorce rate. I don't think this is going to happen to us, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past you, nor would I blame you, to be quite honest with you. Being married to me, if in 10 years you just decided this guy's crazy, I'm going to walk away. So I need to protect myself against that. And here are the stats and the data. 51% at the time, I think, marriages ended up in divorce. And I said, how do I protect myself against this stat and me giving up 50% of what I've earned to you? And then I got halfway through, I got the eyes. I mean, we did it over dinner. It was terrible.
I think what we've all just learned and probably should have known beforehand is that your one true love is money.
Stupidity. So, Stanzik, we're going to have Adam Gase, the Jets head coach, on a little bit later on. We're also going to have Diana Russini on in just a minute here. You and I are pissed at Russini, and we have every right to be pissed at Russini, correct?
Furious.
Well, explain to the audience what.
I love Russini. She was great on the podcast. We kind of gave her the platform to show this personality to the world. Everyone's falling in love with Diana Russini. We had her on to ask her about the ESPYs. Give us your best stories from the ESPYs. You asked that actual question. Give me your best ESPY story. And she's telling the story. Oh, I saw Odell Beckham Jr. I'm telling Odell he's got to shape up. He's got to focus on football. It wasn't even that good of a story. The following week on Katie Nolan's podcast, she tells a story about how Diana got her into LeBron's after party at the ESPYs by saying that Katie Nolan is Rose Lavelle, who was on the U.S. Women's National Soccer team that won the World Cup.
Right.
Russini didn't tell us any of that. That story went viral.
So Russini, Cassidy Hubberth, and Katie Nolan got into an ESPYs post party, LeBron James's annual party, which is hard to get into. And you're right. Russini was on the list. Cassidy was on the list. Katie Nolan was not. Diana, it's a great story. She did a great job getting Katie Nolan into that party. But you're right. Why, like, she let Katie Nolan use that for her own platform, and she had the opportunity to use it on my platform first, and she didn't. And I'm with you. Like, we're a little bit upset. So you want to take this up with her, right? And see what happened there?
Yeah, definitely. I'm furious. Like, that story went everywhere. That could have been Diana Rossini says on Stupidity that she got Katie Nolan in by saying she's Rose Lavelle. Instead, it was Katie Nolan's podcast, Sports, Sports, Sports.
Yeah.
We got screwed.
Well, I did get screwed. Not Sunday or Monday night for my birthday. I was playing golf, but in that particular episode, I got screwed. You're right. What do you want to do? You want to badger her? Are we going to get mad at her? Tell her to explain herself? Perhaps if we're nice to her, Stanzik, she will offer up maybe some details that Katie Nolan has left out of her story. How about that?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Okay. Stupidity! Hiring is challenging, but there is one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter is an amazing company. It really is. It sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. How about that? As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 to 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Pretty amazing. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. That's ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod, StuPod. ZipRecruiter.com/StuPod. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Stupidity! Diana, I'm really upset at you. Stanzik more upset with you than I am. You know that, right?
About what now?
Well, you came on the podcast. We had you, you know, do an ESPYs recap. You were on the red carpet at the ESPYs. It was you. It was Katie Nolan. It was Cassidy Hubbard, who I think is Tony Collins. I'm not certain which one is which. I know Cassidy hates that. She hates me. But regardless, you guys were on the red carpet. We had you on for an hour. You were great. We discovered that your mom, her voice, Camille Rossini, is an absolute gem that we want to have some fun with down the road here. You brought on PFT commenter from Barstool. That was fantastic. But you were really coming on to recap the ESPYs and give us some good stories. And you gave us some decent stories. You saved the really good stories for f***ing Katie Nolan. What the hell?
Well, Katie, on her podcast, she recaps it. She doesn't have guests. You know, this is why you're such a great teammate, because you don't make it just about you. You make it about all of us.
Right.
So she didn't even invite me on it. She just took the story about how, you know, we were, or at least I was creative enough to try to get her in. And yet the headlines everywhere is Katie Nolan gets herself into party as Rose Lavelle. Like, Katie Nolan couldn't get herself into a bingo night. Like, she needed me so badly that night, and everyone got the headline wrong. But yeah, no, she gave me a little credit there. I would have liked to have told the story from, you know, my point of view on it. But, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. So I didn't share it with you. It's like, oh, big deal. Hey, Katie Nolan's Rose Lavelle. Oh, whoop, we got in. Like, to me, that's not that exciting of a story. Asking LeBron James to make 3 cranberry vodkas. Yeah, I probably should have told you a little bit about that, but you know, I left that out because, you know, there's some things that you want to just keep between you and your girlfriends. And, you know, Katie can't keep her mouth shut.
The way I'm absorbing all of this is if we were to pie chart who deserves the most amount of credit for what happened that night, and the story's gone viral and everyone's talking about it. We talked about it today on the Levitard show. By the way, she told that story in 22 minutes. We condensed it and edited it down to 90 seconds. She could have she was a little wordy. I'll be honest with you. I am now giving you the platform here to tell your version of the story. Hopefully it won't be 27 minutes like Katie's.
Which one, the Getty Inn or the LeBron cranberry vodka?
I want your version of the events that happened once you guys were online, because I feel like if we pie charted this, Stanzik, you said the same thing, that Diana feels like she deserves 99.9% of the credit and Katie maybe 0.1.
No, I think you're selling Diana short. She deserves 100. Katie, nothing. You heard her. Katie Nolan couldn't get herself into a bingo night.
And based on what I've heard from both Katie and now Diana, I think I side with Diana. You deserve 100% of the credit. So I want to give you the platform to tell your version of the story and take 100% of that credit.
And then tell a story that'll go viral even more than her story, which was about you, that you deserve credit for.
Right. Once you were inside. So I want you to start. You guys are online, the three of you, and just take it away. Take it from there.
I should preface this with all stories should be kept between people at ESPN, but Katie couldn't help herself. So she took right. advantage of this. And, you know, so we go to the party and I just did what I normally do when I show up to a place with a long line, which is I go to the person at the door and I say, I don't do lines. And they usually say, who are you? And I'm like, well, I'm nobody, but I don't like to stand on lines. I get tired. My legs cramp easily. I'm wearing heels. Just like, let me in. And like, I'll like, I don't know, buy you a drink one day, you know, in a few months. And they, right. you know, it never works, but usually they laugh or they think it's weird, or sometimes I'm like, don't I look like Sandra Bullock? Just say that and just let me in. And they're like, no, you don't look like Sandra Bullock at all. So I was trying everything at the front, and this chick at the door, she was not having it. She hated my gut. And so Katie was smart enough actually to just stand online, but who stands on lines at when there's whatever. Yeah. So Katie was online, and honestly, usually what I can bank on is Cassidy because she's beautiful. So I use her all the time. I'm like, oh, this is Cassie. Look at her. She's half Filipina, half white. Like, she's magical, and, you know, she's beautiful and loves the NBA, and she's so stylish. Like, you know, I just kind of pimp her out a little. But this woman just was like, yeah, I don't care. So Cass was great. She was, like, letting me keep attempting. But eventually, by the time I was striking out there, Katie was at the front of the line. So I jumped over, and now we're kind of panicked because we know Katie doesn't have it in. So the lady says, what's your name? I said, my name. Cassie said hers, and Katie's just standing there, like doing nothing to try to help the situation. And a few minutes before then, I'd seen Rose Lavelle. So I figured at this point, who is America's sweetheart that nobody really knows but is definitely on the list because I just saw her. So I started to spell Lavelle, and you know, Katie tells a story like, oh, she just picked up on it right away. She looked at me like I was the biggest moron, like, L-A-D, it's N-O-L-A-N, it's Nolan. Like, God, you are not only awkward, but you're dumb. But she eventually, like, figured it out, and we got through. And I just kept walking, but she was, like, jumping up and down. I'm like, Katie, just keep walking. And Cassie was definitely trying to ditch us at that point because she's like, yeah, this amateur hour thing is just not for me.
Right.
But once we got in there, it was fine. When I go to these events, too, I'm not really there to be like I'm not a big party girl, even though people think that because I'm from Jersey. Like, I'm not a big like club girl. I don't do that stuff.
Right.
I'm there to work. So if I can get in front of athletes and get information and start talking to NFL players about the upcoming season, that's what I'm there for. So Katie and Cass were just there to just, like, chill out. They went to LeBron's table. I left. I was going to Mahomes' table because I was trying to figure out if Tyreek Hill was going to get suspended or not. I could really care less about hanging out with LeBron.
Wait a second, Stantic. You love this. Katie Nolan starts spelling her own last name. And then are you telling us that Katie Nolan did a victory dance once she got through the ropes, once she got into the party?
Yeah, it's quite obvious Katie has not gone to any parties ever, or has never really even been invited nor snuck into one. So it's just like, once she got through, she's like, oh my God! I'm like, what? What? I'm like, you're like a gigantic star. Like, people love you. You have a following that's bigger than I could ever imagine. You're
she doesn't know that,
and by the way, why weren't you on the list?
Yeah, that begs the question. How are you, no offense, Diana, but how are you and Cassidy on the list and Katie's not?
Okay, I take a lot of offense to that.
But
I don't know. I think I like to think I just know some of the right people. And here's the thing. I don't know how Katie's name didn't get on it because we were kind of you could not go anywhere that week without seeing the three of us together. We stayed on the same floor in the same hotel. We essentially, like, hung out every second of the day. So we learned a lot about each other. I think our friendship definitely got a lot better. But for whatever reason, the world thinks it's crazy that she posed as Rose Lavelle, which is actually kind of funny because, like, there's most people that don't really know who Rose Lavelle is anyway. So Katie Nolan, Rose Lavelle, and us, like, just talk about a bunch of F-list people.
And LeBron.
Katie and Cassie really need to get over themselves. They were like, I can't believe you would ask LeBron James to make us drinks.
Hold on a second. How did this? So wait, the three of you are in the party. How did we arrive at a place where you're in the VIP area and LeBron James is the person you are asking to go fetch you a drink? How did we arrive there?
First of all, the party wasn't what you would think. It's not this like poppin' club, everyone everywhere. It was actually dead. and there were about six, we'll call them major tables, and LeBron had the back one. And when we walked in, we knew some of his people, and I think they probably spotted Cassidy, being familiar with her. But I've seen LeBron out before. I've seen LeBron at games. It's not like we're unfamiliar with each other. So when we walked over to the table, I said, "What's up, Ron? How are you?" And we talked about the Dallas Cowboys for like a second. So I was like immediately comfortable, and Cassidy and Katie are hanging out there. Cass is always a professional because she is around NBA people constantly, so she's just being a pro. You know, again, Katie's just like, "Yeah, oh my God." And then I just was in them, and nobody was drinking. Everyone was drinking water, and nobody was dancing. Everyone was looking at each other. I'm like, this party is awful. So at the same time, I see Mahomes in the corner of my eye, but I don't want to just, like, walk over there. So I'm like, let me grab a drink and then go over to see Pat and say hi. Right. So we're sitting there, and LeBron's just standing there talking to somebody. So I just tapped him on the shoulder. I said, "Hey, can we, like, get drinks?" He's like, "Yeah, sure, what do you want?" I was like, "I don't know, cranberry vodka." Because cranberry is right in front of me. I don't even drink cranberry vodka.
Why'd you order cranberry vodka?
I don't even drink those. I drink beer, but they had no beer there. So I'm not going to be like, "Can you go in the back and get me, you know, a Coors Light?"
Right.
So I just like, "Yeah, I'll take a cranberry vodka." And Cassidy usually just drinks gin or vodka. So I figured one of those would be fine. And those two girls, by the way, we did some dumb stuff that week. They looked at me like I asked LeBron, you know, to give me his house or something, or his children. Because they're like, "How did you ask him?" I was like, "He's standing there. The drinks are next to him. What's he going to say? No."
Did you know
it
was...
myself, and he made us three drinks, and then it was an awesome drink. LeBron James is a great drink maker.
Katie was unclear on this when she was telling me, "Did you know it was LeBron you were tapping on the shoulder?" I said, "Katie, there's no way. There's no mistaking LeBron James." She knew who she was asking.
"No, I thought it was Evander Kane." "Yeah, I knew it was LeBron James. He's standing right... he's right in front of me. He's polite as ever. He's familiar with us. It's not like an uncomfortable thing to ask somebody you're familiar with, who you know, to say, 'Can you make me a drink?'" I didn't think he would actually make it, though. I did think he'd pawn it off to somebody. But there's LeBron picking up glasses and dipping it in the ice and pouring the vodka and the cranberry in it. And he was wearing a white shirt, so that could have been dangerous. And it worked out. And again, the drink was excellent. He gave me the drink. I think I even made a little toast, like, "Cheers." And they kept talking. I was like, "Gotta go." I left. I mean, I'm like, what am I going to tell LeBron about? Like, "Hey, how about them Lakers? I don't care. I got to go talk to the Chiefs." So, yeah, that was it. But again, you know, my takeaway from it, once again, for the, you know, few times I've seen LeBron out, he's nothing but a class act. And he always treats me like a very high profile reporter, which we know the truth.
So, Diana, the next time we ask you for a story from the ESPYs,
yeah,
we don't care about, "Oh, I was yelling at Odell Beckham about how he's got to get his act together." We want "LeBron James made me a drink."
Yes. Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
We're clear on that?
Yep.
Still don't get it. I mean, here's why I think the story is interesting. I think it's funny to think that you have a room filled of athletes and people that cover them spending time in the same area, technically off the record. I think that's fun, but nothing really goes down. People think, like, what happens? Nothing happens. Everyone just stands there and looks at each other, which is why I left. Like, it's really
right.
Not that big of a deal.
I've been to these parties. You're right. Everyone just stands around looking at each other.
Now, the actual ESPY, believe it or not, the ESPY after party that ESPN sponsored, now that one was awesome. So go figure. We know how to throw some parties around here. You wouldn't think, but we can do it.
All right, so a couple of questions. Did you get some alone time with Patrick Mahomes? Did it work?
It totally worked, because he said he actually gave me a hard time, because in a press conference a week prior, I had just asked him what he was working on. I'm like, "So what's your big goal this summer? What are you working on?" And he just said his footwork. And the next day, the headline was Patrick Mahomes honing the footwork. Biggest achievement of the offseason will be this. Like, it blew up. And he's like, "Dude, I'm never answering one of your questions at a press conference ever again." You know, to his defense, he's right. Like, everyone runs with this stuff. 80 people probably have already asked that question, but for some reason, when we said it on the air, it had some legs to it. So he's got to be careful, I guess. But I felt bad for Pat, because, you know, he doesn't deserve all that
I don't feel bad for Patrick at all. It begs a follow-up. You mentioned the ESPN party. And by the way, the text I just sent you, I meant to send it to Stancic. Sorry about that.
What did it say?
It said ESPN party. Who was dancing the most?
My money's on Matthew Berry.
I'm gonna go Sue Bird. How about that? Jay Bizarro.
Yeah, that's a... no, I didn't see him dancing. I did see Sue Bird definitely was. You know who was getting after Brianna Stewart? Brianna Stewart likes having
really?
Stewie.
Come on. She was the coolest chick, man. Like, she was holding my drink because I was talking to people and I like to use my hands. And I was like, yo, I keep spilling on my white dress. Can you hold my drink for me? She's like, yeah, I guess. So she had my drink for like a good 30 minutes.
Just anyone that we would know at ESPN besides the people you named. Like, was Jimmy Pitaro just tearing it up?
Are you trying to get a story out of me? Is what you're looking for?
I'm not a big shot like you, okay? I'm never invited to these things. I feel like I should be at the ESPYs next year on the red carpet with you, but we'll get to that another time. I wasn't invited to any of this stuff. So I'm just trying, you know, we're just trying to get you to set the scene, paint a picture for us. That's all. I'm just wondering who the...
Nobody's invited. I mean, has anyone else figured this out yet? Like, the world thinks that because you work at ESPN, you get invited to anything ESPN. That's not how it works.
All right. Like, clearly
I just show up to things. I'm there and people just are like, hey, why? Okay. I guess it's easier just keep you here than kick you out because you're very loud and right. You'll probably tweet about it. So right. Yeah,
kind of like my restaurant reservation, Stanzik. It's like you just do what you got to do to get in. Rusini, I'm telling you are me, man. This is unbelievable.
Just show up, say you're someone that won a gold medal and you'll get what you need.
What would you have done if I was the person online instead of Katie Nolan? Like, how would you have gotten me in there? Clooney?
I probably would have been like, hey, have you ever seen The Goonies? And they would have been like, yeah. But like, yeah, remember the lead character, that little guy? They'd be like, yeah. But like, that's him. He slimmed down.
Yeah, so you won Goonies. I was thinking C-L-O-O-N-E-Y. Clooney.
Yeah, clearly you realize you have to try to sort of match what the person looks like. But,
right.
No, that's okay. I mean, yeah, there's probably a few actors I would have went with, but I think the key is to really go with somebody with a name that people don't really know. Like,
that's a good point.
I think that's him. I don't know. Right. I think that's usually how it works. Like, I made a mistake early in my 20s. Some guy who had a crush on me told me I look like Sloane from Entourage. We all know I do not look like Sloane from Entourage on my best day. So I went with it. So every time I'd go somewhere, I was like, hey, I was like, I'm that girl from Entourage. People are like, you look like that girl from Entourage after like a bender and, you know, a night walking on the freeway with no shoes on. So, yeah, that's, I realized I have to go with someone that looks more like me, which is like a watered down Snooki.
You do look like Sloane a little bit. We got to work on your self-esteem. I mean, we really do. Stanzik, that's the next thing, okay? We got to work on her self-esteem here. She's not, she's confident, but not confident enough, okay?
I mean, she's right about not looking like Sloane, but, you know, we can work on the confidence.
Whoa. I mean, listen, I know I don't look like Clooney, but I will tell you I look like George Clooney, and that's what you just got to own it, Diana, okay? We got
just
a little work to
it?
Do, you and I. Yeah.
All right. You're George, and I'm Sloane. It's Sloane and George for now on.
All right, get out of here, Sloane. Thank you for sharing the story with us 3 weeks late.
Well, maybe if you ask better questions, but then that's a whole other issue. You know, like,
touche. You are 100% right. I did not ask. You're right. Stanzik, this is not...
You don't ask questions. You just blurt things, and then I'm supposed to respond to it. You make it hard to do this podcast because the person on the other side has to do all the work. You just make statements. You text, hey, got 5 minutes. It turns into 2 hours. You know, then I'm supposed to go about my day when I've been working.
You're starting to figure me out. You're starting to figure this podcast out. Thank you for all the work you've done the last couple of weeks.
I'm going to smoke your ass on Around the Horn on Friday. I can't wait.
Oh, that's right. Stanzik, we are both doing Around the Horn on Friday. Listen, I am telling you right now, I am bringing my A game. But if you want me, I can be bought. And if you want me to bring my C game and you bring your A game so you could win, it will cost you $1,000. But I can be bought. Okay.
Yeah, we'll discuss this offline. I have a couple ideas.
Yeah, can you guys make a pact and just always agree with the other one? Be like, as Diana said, I completely agree with her.
Yes,
right? Wait, no.
There's something here.
Okay, so how do we do it? Like, ditto? Do we say ditto?
No, ditto sucks. I didn't like the movie Ghost. Swayze, get out of here.
Just call out Tony. Be like, Tony, why are you taking points? Like challenge Tony. Like, why did you take points away from him on that? I actually thought that was a great point. Blah, 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 blah. That's how we should do it. Or we can find out who else is going to be on the show and just go after them together like a pack.
Let me check. I can tell you right now. I love the idea of you and I protecting each other, looking out for each other. That's funny.
Yeah, like Tony, I wouldn't have muted her there. Right. She's only going to come back stronger.
Don't take those points away from Mike Sloan. Don't you dare.
Stupidity! All right, Stanzik, before we move forward here, what do you think of that around the horn strategy there? What do you think?
I love it. You and Rossini agreeing not to go after each other, boosting each other, saying, oh, that was a great point by Diana, kind of ruffling Tony's feathers a little bit. I think it's going to be hilarious.
Good, because it's not happening. I'm going to go after Rossini. I'm telling you right now. Whatever we agreed to, it wasn't binding. No lawyers are listening, we think. Well, maybe they are. If they are, they're terrible lawyers. But anyway, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. I am going to take a flamethrower to Rossini. How about that?
You're a monster.
A ratings monster. Stupidity! All right, we're going to bring on the head football coach of the New York Jets, Adam Gase. And it's the 25th episode, and I was wondering when we would start to get lazy around here and have a guest on for the second time. And the 25th episode, which should be number 26, by the way, the 25th episode is that date. This is back-to-back reoccurring guest on the show. Rossini, which we had on 2 weeks ago. Adam Gase, who was on our first episode. So we are getting lazy around here. I promise we'll do better moving forward. And by promise, I mean I can't promise a f***ing thing because I'm lazy. So let's bring on the Jets head coach, Adam Gase, for a second time, celebrating our 25th episode of Stupidity. Feels like a better way of promoting this thing. Adam Gase, Jets head coach, get to join us. Stupidity! By the way, I want to tell you, Danny Z, who is filling in for Dan Stanzik, my producer, he is a he's a Dolphin fan. Danny Z, you have anything to say to the former Dolphin coach there?
Glad you're gone.
what an asshole. I mean, why? Because he's going
to
make
the first time they went to the playoffs in 10 years. I know. Bad.
Danny Z, first off, by the way, we call him Danny Z, and it's usually Danny Z's because he's so f***ing boring. Danny Z, that's the most interesting thing you've ever said. You got balls, dude.
Thanks, Stu.
What an asshole.
Oh, that's great.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Jet head coach Adam Gase is joining us again. The first, you know what? You are the first person to make a second appearance on my podcast, Stupidity. Congratulations to you.
I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Are you really? Be honest. Are you really excited to be here?
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. How's New York treating you?
It's been good. The weather's been nice.
It won't be for long, though, I promise you.
It's all right. We'll worry about that when we get there. Right now, today was really nice. The guys were flying around, and it was nice and sunny. Got a little warmed up a little bit, and then I'm sure as training camp goes on, we're just going to heat up a little bit.
But you like the area, right? You're new to the area. Your wife is it, but you're enjoying it, correct?
Yeah. No, it's been great. It's been great. I haven't – short time in our house so far, and, you know – I was excited once we got that done because living in a hotel for 5 months isn't necessarily awesome.
Room service? I mean.
Well, I mean, it was just you're at work all the time.
Right.
Because why go back?
But New York is cool. Like you know, I'm from that area. So it's cool because when you buy a house in New York, and I'm certain that you guys bought a very nice house, or at least I hope that you did. You actually get like real land, real grass. Like down here in South Florida, everything's fake. I mean, the grass is fake. You don't get a lot of property. So you have to be loving that, right?
That's the one thing that I've enjoyed in the short time being in the house is, you know, having as much grass as we have. A lot of wiffle ball being played.
Yes.
You know, watching my two boys try to see if they can hurt each other playing football in the backyard.
You're super serious wiffle ball player, aren't you? Come on, Gase. You are.
They make me pitch. They got me for about three straight days. And when you throw about 4,000 wiffle balls, you realize I'm not as young as I used to be.
Are you trying to strike them out? You letting them hit the ball? Like, what are you trying to do there?
It depends. You know, one of them hit a home run off me and started talking, and so I beamed him the next pitch, so he deserved it. I just told him, I go, that's what you get for talking. So he doesn't say much if he hits a good one now.
Yeah, but you get the talk because he hit the home run. I mean, that's how we should have responded. Dad, that's what you get when you lay up a meatball and I hit a home run out here.
Yeah, I don't think he was ready for that at 7. It's bad enough he'll criticize play calling, let alone my pitches and wiffle ball.
Have your sons done that? I know you told us a story where after a bitter loss with the Dolphins, you were in the shower and your son came in and said, Dad, what the hell are you? But your sons do that often? Do they criticize actual play calls?
No, it's just every once in a while he'll try to understand something.
Right.
And I'm assuming that possibly his mother might have made a comment and he's repeating it. I'm hoping that's false. There's been denial on that aspect.
Oh, my God. That is so great. That's an interesting dynamic, by the way. Your father-in-law being on the same staff as you. That's got to be tricky, no?
No, it's great. I mean, having him on the staff, 40 years NFL experience, he's, you know, winning a Super Bowl in New Orleans. You know, I was lucky enough for him to have the opportunity to come down to Miami. You know, he helped out in our front office. And then, you know, he's been able to get back into coaching. You know, when we came here, being able to construct his staff, and I'm like, you want to do this again? And he was excited. He was fired up. He wanted to do it. And that's what he's great at, and that's what he's done his whole life. He's a guy's a unbelievable motivator, unbelievable at teaching players, and he inspires guys.
Does he ever give you, like, the father-in-law eyes? Like, just, you know, you're going crazy, you're ranting, you're raving. Does he ever just give you a look, like a Joe Vitt look?
No, he has a way to be able to suggest something or to talk me through something if I have a question about it. It's a great sounding board for me to go to him, ask him, hey, how have you seen this done in the past? I think having him, having Greg, having Frank Bush, those three guys have been in the NFL for so long, have seen so much, and it's great to be able to bounce things off those guys.
I say this in the most loving way and in a great way because I'm excited about it, but you have put together what I believe to be the craziest coaching staff in the history of the NFL.
I don't know if it's crazy. I think
in a good way, though. That was a compliment.
It's a group of guys that are very competitive, that are very driven, that are all football, that love to win, hate to lose, and want to do whatever they can to help the team win. And I think it starts at practice. The competition at practice, it has to start with the coaches, and then it filters down. But having the players that we have, especially on defense, I mean, Jamal Adams is as competitive of a player I've ever been around in my career, and he makes practice fun. And you can tell when he hits the grass, that guy rather not be anywhere else. Like, he loves it so much. I mean, you could be doing up downs, gassers, whatever you're doing, all the stuff most people don't like to do.
Right?
He could be faking it, but he looks like he's enjoying it.
I love that. Who is the player that you've coached? And maybe it's Jamal Adams, the player that just loves training camp, loves football. Of all the players you coach, just the guy who just loves training camp the most. Who is that guy?
I mean, I'll give you one guess, and I'm not with him right now, and he's possibly
Peyton?
Retired.
Yeah. Like, just loved it, couldn't wait to get there, showed up early.
He loved, that's what made him great, is he loved every part of everything.
Man. Could he be a head coach?
He can do whatever he wants.
No, but do you think he'd be a good head coach if he chose to do that?
Whatever he decides to do, he's good at.
Right.
Because he doesn't do anything marginal. He doesn't do anything, yeah, I guess I'll throw my suit. Like, if he's going to do something, it's going to be all out. Every ounce of energy he has is going to be put into it. He's going to dot every I, cross every T. I mean, he is going to be as thorough as you can get, and whatever he's involved in, he'll make great.
Did you love his I don't know if you saw this, because I know you don't do social media. You really don't turn on your phone. But did you see the story where he responded to something Tony Romo didn't say, which is there was a report out there that Romo said he always wanted to be a broadcaster. And Peyton responded. Now, Tony said he never said that, and I believe he never did say that. But Peyton thought he said it, and his response was, oh, that's great. I always wanted to be a quarterback.
I did not hear that.
But that is you're not shocked when I tell you that, right?
Well, I mean, that's what he wanted to do. He's just being honest.
It's such a good dig at Romo, though, isn't it?
I don't know is that what he was doing? Was he trying to do that? I mean, I didn't hear it or see it or anything.
I'm telling you right now, the question was presented to him like this. There was a report out there that Tony said he always wanted to be a broadcaster, which would suggest that broadcasting before football for Romo, and that got to Peyton. They asked Peyton about it, and his response was, that's great. I've always wanted to be a quarterback. I mean, it's so great.
That's one of those ones where I didn't hear it or see it, so I can't confirm nor deny.
Well, you don't trust me? I'm telling you what happened.
I mean, that's great. I didn't see it.
It's funny, though.
I mean, there's the video out there of him when he's, who knows how old he was, saying that what he wanted to do.
Right. Give me a, if you have one, in a weird game where you have to have the best Peyton Manning story, and you win like $5 million. For the person who has the best Peyton Manning story wins $5 million. Give me your absolute best Peyton Manning just being Peyton Manning story if you have one.
God,
so many.
It's hard to think. I mean, he got Decker really well, and I know they got put on social media, but when they went down to Duke, they basically had Cutcliffe send those guys bills for working out at Duke. Like, here's like, you know, $500 for using the hot tub. It was $2,000 for this. Like, that stung them pretty good. I think for a minute they thought it was real, and they finally figured out that he had pulled a fast one on him.
God, I could talk about Peyton all day, but I won't, because I know you want to talk about the Jets, and I will get to him in a second. What's going on with the beard? We were talking about you today on the air, by the way, because we love the beard. We think it's a great look for you. What's going on with it? You need to keep it?
I mean, right now, yeah. I don't know. I haven't even thought about – it's just kind of – just kept going. And right. I don't know. Maybe I'm channeling my inner Matt Patricia right now.
What's the wife that?
No, it's the first time I haven't played him, I feel like, in like 15 years. So maybe this is my my way of keeping him around.
Adam Gase with us here on Stupidity. And I am telling you right now, because this is just typical me, my wife is not home. Okay. She joined us the last time we did the interview. Someone's about to ring my doorbell with a delivery, and I might have to just get up and pay him real quick, and then I'll come back to you. Okay. I need some food. How's Le'Veon doing, by the way?
He's good.
Yeah?
He's doing good. I mean, he picks things up so fast. He did a good job of making sure that he knew what we were doing coming into this thing. He's just going to keep building his library as far as what we're teaching him. And, you know, our O-line coach and offensive coordinator did a good job of going through all his old stuff and making sure that we got his run game ready to go. We're trying to do some things that, he hasn't done some of the stuff that we do in the passing game, which he's excited about. He looked good today, man. You would have never known that he took time off.
Right.
You never know. Like, you watch him run in practice, the way he finished. I mean, he looks like an elite running back. You watch him run and you're like, wow, that's what it looks like.
And he was in shape, right? You came in good shape. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, phenomenal shape.
What'd you make of his Instagram post? You had to love that, no?
Well, considering I don't.
You're not on
Instagram.
But you heard about it. You don't get it. Listen,
to me, I don't. I look at it like this. I was good with what he was doing. I knew where he was. I knew why he was doing it. Right. I was good. His teammates were good. His coaches were good. He's one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the league. He doesn't have to justify anything to anyone.
Hey, just give me 1 second, okay? Because no one's here, and I got to go do this real quick.
Yeah,
literally 1 second. Hold on.
Yeah.
Danny Z, make sure you get all this. I am leaving Adam Gase to go get food. Man, I'm so happy because, and you have to be thrilled as, you know, you're an offensive guy. I know you're the head coach, but man, you got weapons, man. Like, this is, I've never been so excited for a Jet team in my entire life, man. I don't know what to do with myself because I find myself having really positive thoughts about my football team, but it's because of you. You have a million weapons on offense, man. It's crazy.
It's all right to have positive thoughts every once in a while. That's a good thing.
I'm allowed to?
I'll say this. We get challenged every day in practice, and it's going to be hard for us offensively to be consistently dominant unless we keep getting just the kind of defense we see every day. That's right. Going to make us better. I mean, with what Greg does schematically, the players that we have, I don't think I've really been on a team really ever that has – I was on a San Francisco team when, like, Patrick Willis and Justin Smith, but those guys were all so young
right.
that they hadn't hit that, like, the Jim Harbaugh stage where those guys were, like, all pro players. Like, those guys were there, but it wasn't what it was 3 years later. And just to be on a team with Leonard Williams, C.J. Mosley, Jamal Adams, Tremaine – I mean, I just look at some of these guys, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of good players on that side of the ball. And every day when we got to go against these guys, it makes us so much better because we're playing elite-type talent sometimes. Those guys, when they're rolling, man, they're tough to stop. When they're blitzing, when they're rushing, and when they're covering, it's a hard battle every day.
How excited are you about Sam?
We're grinding, man. It's been fun all through spring. Today was one of those days where – he had a lot of completions, but at the same time, he was so wired in on practicing well. There's like these little tiny details that he wants to get right that he's harder on himself than anybody else.
Right.
Well, and that's what you want out of your quarterback.
You've been around so many quarterbacks. That second year, that jump from rookie year to second year, the difference in confidence, like they just come in as a different guy, right? They're used to it. They're accustomed to the NFL. It's their second training camp. Like that's a big jump, right? That first to second year.
I think he had a unique situation too, because he played,
right,
sat out, and was able to watch Josh McCown, and then played again.
Sure.
And that was really good for him because he realized, I got to get rid of the ball. I got to play better situational football. There were all these little things that almost he probably would have had to, you know, finish the season, gone through everything, realized some stuff. He was able to do it in the season. And so that injury actually was one of the better things that happened to him because he was able to take a step back. He played a lot of games and then was able to come back and play again. And it kind of, his mind changed as far as how he was operating, the decisions that he was making, how he was moving the ball, what he was doing on first and second down, how he was doing certain things on third down. So then when we started up in the spring, he kind of went through almost like part of that second year already, even though it was the first year. And so the conversations that we can have, he's experienced a lot of the things that we're talking about already instead of just being like, hey, this could happen. And he's like, no, I went through that already.
I have a T-shirt idea for you again, okay? Last time we discussed Gase of the Franchise, and now we have to add a beard to that face when I put it on a T-shirt. You and I are going to split this, okay? Okay? I'm going to add a beard
to
it.
We might not make a lot of money on this.
We're going to go 50-50 on this, right? You and I? We're going to figure this out. I don't think we're going to make a lot of money on this. I think we're going to make a ton of money, especially if you get off to like a 2-3-0 start. Like, I think we're going to make a ton of money. But here's my idea with Sam. Obviously, Mark Sanchez, his name was Sanchez. That was his nickname. I'm thinking Sanchez for Sam Darnold. How about that? We put that on a T-shirt.
So you're basically just kind of switching a couple letters there.
I'm just switching. Yeah, I'm just taking out the N. I'm inserting an M, and it's Sam Chise. How about that?
I think you'll get crushed for that. I don't think it's going to go over well.
All right, but we could still do Gase of the Franchise, though, right?
No.
Why not? It's funny. You're the face of the franchise.
It's not funny. You think it's funny. It's not funny.
I know. Listen, I'm my own biggest fan, man. But I'm going to do it anyway. You gave me permission already, so it's a legally binding contract.
I did give you permission.
So I'll just send you royalties as they come in, okay?
Yeah. I'll be waiting on those checks.
And by the way, I'm not going to do it tonight, but at some point, I need you and Sam together. Like, I just want to talk to the two of you together because I think you're the head coach quarterback relationship. That dynamic is so fantastic. I want to talk to you guys together if we can make that happen one day. Okay.
So then I'll be the first person to be the third time caller.
You'll be the first
third time caller.
Yeah, third time caller. But you're going to call in with Sam, and then we'll have some fun. It will be fun. I like. The way I imagine it is, I will ask you a bunch of questions that I'm going to ask Sam, and you predict how Sam's going to answer those questions about you, okay?
Oh, that's not going to go well.
You're f***ing too funny. Listen, we're excited, and have a good rest of the training camp. We'll talk to you soon. You and Sam together. We'll get it done.
All right, man.
Stupidity! All right, a lot of fun with Adam Gase. Danny Z. I mean, how about that? Danny Z taking a shot at Gase. How about that, Stanzik?
Glad he's gone. Loved it.
How'd you feel about me getting pizza during Adam Gase?
Wasn't surprised at all. I mean, that was the least surprising part of the interview.
Oddly, Adam Gase wasn't surprised either. What am I doing?
He probably rolled his eyes.
Yes, he did. Gase of the Franchise. So anyway, listen, please subscribe, rate, and review. If you leave 5-star reviews with a question, comment, for the show, we have shown here over the last few weeks, except the week that Stanzik was out and I fired him, we have shown here that we will respond to them, we will address them, and perhaps your idea will make it on to Stupidity. So, Stanzik, what do we have this week?
The first one is from a name that I am not even going to try to pronounce. There's a lot of consonants. J-N-F-I-J-W-E-B-F-I-U. That's it.
Jinawebfu?
He or she says, I want more of Stugott's records, top 10s, overrated frauds, busts.
Okay, we could do that. You want to do like a weekly top 10 here on Stupidity, or is that too cliche? How do you feel about that?
I kind of like it.
Do you really? So next week, do you want me to rattle off a top 10 right now or no?
If you can do one right now, and I don't think you can, we should probably just plan it for next week.
So for next week, Stanton, you think about what you want the top 10 to be. Give me some time to prepare, because you know I need time to prepare. And by time, give me about like 5 minutes and I'll come up with one, okay?
All right, here's what I've learned from you.
What?
Instead of me doing the work, I'm going to have the audience do the work. Leave a review, tweet us. What do you want Stu to do a top 10 on?
All right, perfect. Man, you are turning it. I love you, man.
Done.
You are back. I will never fire you again.
Yeah,
what else?
The next one's from ACH6877. He or she says, Diana Rossini interview was gold, all caps on the word gold. She needs to co-host with Stu every week or give her her own podcast. That's weird. We already had her on again.
Okay. Yep, we did. I can't control whether or not she has her own podcast. She is certainly deserving of one. I can control whether she comes on here more often, and she's going to. So we're going to start rotating some co-hosts around here on Stupidity, and Diana Rossini is in that rotation. Plus, we are working. Dan is taking some time off after he gets married in October, and I am hoping that me and Diana Rossini will be doing at least a week's worth of shows together live on the air on ESPN Radio. So we got a lot of plans in the works for our friend Diana Rossini, who gives the more interesting stories to Katie Nolan than she does to us.
Lightning Bolt Kid writes, meh, good show. Almost as good as the regular show.
Meh. That's what I got, a meh. As long as you have 5 stars. Listen, 5 stars entitles you to leave meh. I'm good with that. And by the way, the show is way, way better than the regular show.
I don't think the audience is going to agree.
I don't give a shit.
From Jibster ST, hey Stu Gotts, which 10 basketball players would you bring back to play in the NBA? All players age back to 23, and they will stay like that for 4 years.
That's actually a really good and interesting question. Stanzik, why don't you tackle this one? Because I know you love questions like this. I love them too, but you know, I want you take a stab at it. Go ahead.
All right, and here's your top 10 list, by the way, 2 for 1.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
MJ.
Larry Bird.
Larry Legend.
Clyde Drexler.
Clyde the Glide.
Gary Payton.
The Glove.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
The Dream.
Charles Barkley.
Round Mound of Rebound.
Dan Marley.
Thunder Dan.
Sean Kemp.
The Rain Man.
Karl Malone.
The Mailman.
Robert Horry.
Ah, Big Shot Bob! Once you have those guys on your team, it doesn't matter if you're carrying around Big Shot Bob, okay? But you need a guy on the roster who can hit a big shot for you, and no one hit more big shots than Big Shot Bob, except Mr. Big Shot Chauncey Billups. How about that? Let's put him on there.
From Hi Wilco, they write, I'm angry. I resent the fact that I feel obligated to write a review, and even more upset that I love this show as much as I do. I have a question and a request. First, in the interview with Diana Rossini, what is the word that gets bleeped when naming the listener that likes her so much? Bleepmaster 47? I have a variety of ideas, but I'm dying to know what the actual word is. Could you spell it, or at least give the first letter or what it rhymes with?
First off, you should feel obligated to write a review, because I'm asking you to do it. I am doing this for free, and in exchange for this entertainment that you're enjoying so much, all I ask is that you write a review, you subscribe, and you download, you do all that stuff to help boost the ratings here, so I appreciate that. And listen, don't fight liking this thing. Just embrace it. Embrace the fact that you like it. That's what the Stugatz Army is all about. Everyone loves Rossini. We do too. Stantic, I don't know how to address the final portion of that. You're the executive producer. Left to my own devices, I would actually say it, but I don't know if I can say it.
I'm going to just make a quick correction. It wasn't Bleep Master 47. It was Bleep Monster 47. And it rhymed with clock.
Stupidity!
From the app Disliker, fellow July 29th-er, hey Stu, getting to hear my name read as I was in queue on the local hour a few years back, didn't make the air sadly, was one of my life's greatest pleasures. Whoa. But now I want to ask my question, were you the product of a Halloween party?
I don't know if I was a product of a Halloween party, but here's the theory I'm running with, because Stanzik, this is strange, okay? Me and my brother are separated by 4 years, but we have the same birthday. And so I maintain that my parents, whatever night that was that they had sex that one night, and then they had my brother, and they marked the night on the calendar, and 4 years later, they had sex for the second time.
Was it a Sunday?
I learned from the best. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
And finally, from Jimmy Fishkin, how about Stooligans or Stu's Your Daddy for name ideas for the former Stooliewed game?
Why are we changing the name? Is this something we discussed? Or
You have no retention.
What do you mean?
The last time I produced this podcast, 2 weeks ago, we discussed how we're going to have father and son editions of the Stillywed Game, and we discussed if we should change the name. Then we asked listeners to submit ideas for what the new name should be.
You're right. We did. We did have that conversation. I'm sorry. It was so long ago, though. I mean,
2 weeks ago.
Think about everything that's happened since then. I have turned 42. you are engaged, and you know, you're drinking beers by a lake. I mean, it feels like a year ago, that show, you know? I mean, Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm good with Stu's your daddy. How about you?
Works for me.
All right, done. Our thanks to Diana Rossini. Our thanks to Adam Gase for joining us on the podcast. And really, our thanks to you. We do, and our sponsors, of course. We do appreciate our sponsor support, and we appreciate your support because this thing is doing really, really well. So please subscribe, rate, and review. Leave a 5-star rating. And you can ask a question. We will answer it here on the air. You can give ideas for the podcast. We will certainly take them into consideration. But thank you. We really do appreciate your support as we are 25 episodes into this thing. So thank you very much. Next week's going to be a lot of fun. So everyone have a great week, and we appreciate it. Download, rate, and subscribe. 5-star reviews only. Leave a question. We will answer them on air. Have a great week.